Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Mana Pro Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We're often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Tuesday, April 17th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and, of course, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro. Nurturing life. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've got a great show lined up for you today, being Tuesday. We've got Andrew Odom, founder of tinyrevolution.us. Yep, founder of tinyrevolution.us. Him and his wife and his daughter have embarked on the journey of living a minimalist lifestyle in their tiny home and that type of lifestyle. So the third Tuesday of every month, Andrew joins us and he shares some of the challenges about doing that, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as far as living that type of lifestyle. And it's really interesting, some of the information he shares as they've embarked on this journey. And so we've got that going actually today. So we're glad that you have tuned in. Want to hop in there in the chat room and say hello to the chat room chickeneers. We appreciate you tuning in. Send a special shout out to Tammy in the chat room. I don't know if she's a first-time participant in the chat room or not. Maybe I just hadn't seen her in there a while, but either way, welcome. A special welcome to you. Welcome to all the homeschoolers out there that are tuning in, the over-the-road truck drivers, and, of course, all the feed and seed stores that stream this radio show live to and during the during the day to their customers. We appreciate that. So it is now time. It is now time to welcome my co-host. Poultry advocate and author of many great titles, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
That just cracks me up. Hey, Whisper. Yeah, and here we are on a terrific Tuesday already, and boy, what a great day it's turning into be. How are you doing today? You're sounding pretty chipper.
I'm doing pretty good. It's a busy week for me. We're trying to get some things all straightened up here. I believe the TV crew and the storm shelter is scheduled to arrive. I got an email today, I think sometime Friday morning. So we're doing some fine tuning around here it's been on my to-do list for quite some time, but it's finally kind of, you always need a reason to actually get out and do it. So we're doing that. Went out, got a few things for the garden yesterday evening and working in that a little bit today, a little bit of weed eating. Moving some chicken coops around, just getting all ready for that. You know, Pat, I wanted to tell you that, you know, when I introduced you, you got the drum roll and the applause and all that great stuff. Well, unfortunately, when you're working and making a living at a pharmacy and unfortunately can't join us, then I basically do the same thing, but this is what I play. No, I'm sorry today. Pat cannot join us. She is in the pharmacy working, so Pat won't be here today.
Oh, boy. You do have a strong inner child, don't you? That's a good thing. Always keep nurturing him or
gotta
her
love
or whatever
it
is. Yeah, gotta love is right. Oh, you just gotta love life. You know, I had a nice, deep conversation with a friend about, it was really going through some horrible times, and it's like they just make you stronger and appreciate what you've got. Yeah, you know, she had so much, and we started making a list of everything that's really right and good and wonderful in her life, and, you know, it just went on and on and on, and it's like so many times we'll focus on this one little black dot on this canvas of life, this one little thing is all we can see, and we fail to really recognize how beautiful everything else is, so, keep that strong inner child going there. That kind of came out of the balloon as a little bit random, but...
I completely agree. You know, it's you're right. Something will happen, or we'll have a down day, and we'll just be like, "Oh my gosh!" And speaking of down days, just to remind everybody, speaking of down days, that today, of course, is tax day.
I love tax day.
Regarding that, to make sure you file for all those extensions that you're going to file for. So make sure you get that done. anyhow, no, you're,
I had my extension filed Friday. You know, it was really cute, Whisper. There was this little thing in the Counter Culture Cafe. That's where I occasionally go down to get my little half a cup of coffee. And they had this little thing about dogs.
You had coffee today?
No, not today.
Okay.
Only once a week. I can't, otherwise I get too manic. But they had this cute little thing about a dog, and a dog goes, oh, I get to get up and go for a walk, my favorite thing to do. Oh, I get to go on a ride, my favorite thing to do. Oh, gee, they're rubbing my belly, my favorite thing in the world. Yeah, so dogs have this kind of And so I was thinking, oh, I don't want to do my mom's taxes. And then I thought, no, rephrase that. Oh, I get to do mother's taxes, my favorite thing to do. And so then I just got up and did it and made it a game, and it actually ended up being kind of fun because she's getting money back and she's appreciative and, you know, it's the whole thing. So a lot of times we just have to rephrase taxes.
Yeah,
just remember, it's not what you tell the IRS, it's what you show them. So keep all your receipts and have your own business. I mean, there's no reason why you can't legally not pay a lot of taxes.
So yeah. One of those things. So, but you're right. You know, you concentrate on that little black speck on the canvas of life, and you're thinking, you know, what's the deal? You know, often on my busy, hard days, busy days, or I get down, or you know, I read a post or something, and I'm like, well, you know, but it's like, you know, the important things. You know, what's the important things? My wife, Caleb, our little home.
Oh yeah. Just,
you know, we still have you know, pretty decent health. You know, I think about, you know, if you ever. And I use this right or wrong, but if you ever think you're having a really bad day, all you got to do is go visit some websites at some of these children's hospitals or some of these children's cancer benefits or anything like that. And you, there's no way anybody can say they're having a bad day when they have people out there that are really, really having a bad day. So, it's one of those things that I try to keep it in perspective so much. I mean, did I really have a bad day today? I'm still breathing. I'm sitting here. I have my wife and my son next to me, and so this happened or that happened, but you know, God willing, I get to wake up again tomorrow morning and have a job that I absolutely love and meet people that I love and enjoy living the dream here on the little homestead. So I mean, did I really have a bad day today? You're absolutely right, and I think more of us in this day and age need to be reminded of that, including myself, literally every single day, no matter
every single
what
day.
It is.
And you never know, this might be your last day in physical. I mean, you know, none of us know if we have even till 4 o'clock this afternoon. So just gotta you know, really make the power of now. I like that power of now and being in the moment and happy in the moment.
I agree, and I saw a post yesterday on Facebook that said it had a picture of a sheriff's badge, and it said thousands of police officers out there know when they put this badge on and leave the house, they may never return. Well, that's true, but the same goes for you, Pat. Same goes for me. Same goes for every listener out there. Any one of us could go outside right now and you know, car wreck, whatever, you know, who knows, go to doctor's office, get bad, you know, that could happen, to, not just because you put that badge on, and I'm not dissing police officers, but I mean, just the basic comment was, when they put this badge on, they understand they may not come back home. Well, that goes for everybody on this planet, regardless of what the case may be. And like I said, I need to be reminded quite often, but I do try to live my life, you know, knowing that this may be the last day. So make the most of it. And it's easy to say, but it's kind of like when you're in the healthcare field, anybody who's in the healthcare field would completely understand this. You get burned out, you get kind of down and out, and, you know, it's easy to say, you know, treat every patient as if it was your mom, but after about a year or two in the healthcare field, you know, that only goes so far. You know, you're kind of like, I really could care less because this patient's really being a pain or whatever. So, you know, that words just go so far. You gotta experience it, and I gotta be reminded on a regular basis. No, did I really have a bad day today? No, absolutely not. I had a great day. So, anyway, the chat room's filling up, and we've got, like I said, a great show. We've got Andrew Odom, founder of tinyrevolution.us. Let me just remind everybody right now that we do have the Chicken Coops for Schools contest going on right now. Chicken Coops for Classrooms. Excuse me, I said it wrong. Chicken Coops for Classrooms contest. And it's awesome. We've got a huge prize package. We've got fertile hatching eggs. We've got an incubator. We've got a brooder. We have a chicken coop. We've got a lot of educational books. And we need you, our listeners, to nominate the local public or private school of your choice to win this great prize package. We will stop taking nominations on the last day of April, Monday, April 30th at midnight. We'll stop taking nominations, and then we'll get all the nominations to our judges, and then we hope on Friday, May 4th, we'll actually call the school live on the radio show and announce them that they have won this awesome prize package. And let me just tell everybody how to enter, and then we'll take a short commercial break, bring on Andrew Odom. But the way to enter is just send me an email. That's it. How simple is that? I mean, you like your school, you want your kids schooled, you know. So this, just send me an email to contest@chickenwhisperer.net. Okay, this is for the chicken coop contest for the schools. contest@chickenwhisperer.net. Okay, in the subject line of the email, please put chicken coop contest. Okay, chicken coop contest in the subject line. And then actually in the email itself, I'll need the school name, the school address, the school phone number. And then if you would, write a little snippet, you know, a little paragraph, 4 or 5 sentences long, about why you think this school is deserving of this awesome prize. Are they already showing some great advancements in sustainable education? Do they have a recycling program? Do they have raised bed gardens? Are they already hatching chicks out but need a big program to step it up a notch? Do they have compost bins? And so let us know about what kind of the school's doing already to have a sustainable education, you know, even if it's in, you know, city, country, wherever it's at. Let us know, and you can nominate your local public or private school for this awesome, awesome contest. So we would love for you to do that, and your local school won't win if you don't nominate them. So that's what we're looking for. Then, for all of y'all folks that aren't a public or private school that want to win a chicken coop, we give more away here than anybody else on the planet, and we'll be giving another chicken coop away in June, and then another chicken coop away in August. So every other month, we're giving away an awesome chicken coop, and these coops are provided by, of course, our good friends Tracy and Derek over at My Pet Chicken. In fact, MyPetChicken.com just had a great segment, I guess last week, last 10 days, on CNN. They did a little special on keeping backyard poultry in the movement, and Tracy did a fabulous job on there. Telling everybody about how awesome and all the great benefits of keeping backyard poultry. So gotta love that. And for going that. Let's see, tomorrow we got a great show lined up for everybody. It's Garden Wise Living with Arlena. So tomorrow we'll have the gardening show, and of course we'll ask Arlena what kind of wine she is having tomorrow. She's got to have that wine to get through the show. So tomorrow, Garden Wise Living with Arlena, and then we'll have Thursday. It's a poultry scientist, Dr. McRae. She's a professor, PhD, teaches small flock poultry. That's her full-time job. She knows her stuff, and she'll be here sharing her knowledge. And then this Friday is going to be, yep, you guessed it, another fun Friday. However, there's always a catch, at least during my busy season. Our longtime listeners know, basically between January and through really May, it's potluck. We do try to broadcast as much as absolutely possible, but right now, from the A&E producers for the TV show Shipping Wars, I got an email this morning. They're looking at a delivery Friday morning, and then they actually booked a time for delivery and filming between 11:30 and 2:30, which is right here in the middle of the radio show. So we may not have a fun Friday this Friday, but because we'll be filming the TV episode for that shipment of the storm shelter. So I'll keep you all posted, but so there may not be a fun Friday. If not, that is the reason why.
Well, that's a good reason. And I'll be on the road to Indiana for my mother's 94th birthday. I'm so proud of her.
Holy cow, what a long, awesome life that is. I mean, you're going to get her a big, big cake?
Well, she prefers key lime or lemon meringue pie, so we'll get her one of those. But, you know, we were talking about the changes that's happened in her lifetime. I mean, over 94 years. You know, they didn't have telephones. It was a ring-up kind when I was growing up, and I don't think they even have any. Women couldn't really vote, with my grandmother anyway. I mean, it's a huge amount of change, just in only that short a time. But, yeah, so we're going to spend a lot of quality time just talking about changes that she's seen in her life, World War II, and how all that has really affected her.
Yeah, how can you not respect somebody that's you know, oh my goodness gracious, when you look back and you think, oh, I laundry's piling up. I got to go do the laundry. And I mean, are you serious? I mean, these fancy things we got now, you throw the laundry in, put a little powder in, and push a button. And I mean,
right.
Washing boards in a metal bin from.
I remember those. We had those when I was growing up.
Water from the Cadillac. I mean,
we're
wussies, and I'm included in that. Just a bunch of wussies this day and age complaining, oh, I got to do laundry, or, oh, my goodness, great. Oh, I got to cook. Oh, it gets so hot in the kitchen. Yeah, with your air conditioning and your fancy $2,000 gas stove. When it's time to cook way back when, now you've got to start getting some wood in the stove. It may be 98 degrees here in South Georgia. But you're firing up a fire in a wood stove to actually cook some biscuits and some greens and some cornbread. And I've told you this before on the radio show, Pat. My dad's aunt cooked on a wood fire stove for the longest time, even after like modern stoves, if you want to say, came into play. And so she had a cookbook. Man, I so wish that I had that cookbook. He said she actually had a cookbook, and I know I've told you this before, that actually next to each recipe, no matter what it was so fine tuned to her wood stove, it basically had a number of pine cones to add to adjust the heat based on temperature.
Wow. Get that cookbook. That is so neat.
I wish I could still have it, but it was like, okay, for this pound cake, it would take, you know, 14 pine cones or three sticks and three pine cones or whatever the case. Can you imagine it just blows my mind that, okay, four sticks of wood and nine pine cones.
yeah.
Oh,
wow, that's impressive. You know, we might go back to those times. You know, the Dalai Lama said a really interesting thing, and he said, here we have more conveniences, just like you were describing. We have more conveniences than ever before, and yet less time for each other.
Amen. Absolutely right. I'm like, where does the year go? Where does the day go? And I'm thinking, you know, we have all these modern conveniences. I was just thinking, just this week, Pat, about checking emails or returning emails or things around the house. And I'm like, are you kidding me? What, before email, you know, we're having to handwrite letters.
I know.
And then put a stamp on them and mail them. How did we ever get anything done? I mean, if you had a company and business, and then, of course, you know, we had the telephone, of course, and then the fax machine came out, and that was, oh, my gosh, this is the coolest thing. I can put a piece of paper in here, and they get, you know, across the country. It just, I remember the fax. It's just great. You're right. You're right. Where does the time we can play? Not enough time to do this and that. It's nuts. I just don't understand it either. When I love to look at old pictures, Pat. I don't know how we got on this tangent, but I enjoy it. And, you know, you look at old pictures someone posts on Facebook from old family, and you look at them, and, you know, the kids may have, what, two outfits, maybe three outfits for the whole week. They have a nice outfit.
And often barefoot. I mean, I'm pictures of me barefoot.
They get one pair of shoes a year when school starts, or maybe a pair of when winter gets here. And then when you look at them, they're just this wonderful handmade home, you know, that's basically the foundation is sitting on a few rocks. And they're sitting out front, and they're standing there, and the ladies have maybe a nice dress on. And then the guys, it seem like they have the slacks, maybe a shirt and a tie and a vest with these black, you know, patent kind of leather shoes, and they're covered in dust. They're out there on, you know, and they're working.
Suspenders.
I love to look at those old pictures. I look around the house saying, okay, what, you know, these people, and they have smiles on their faces. You know, they're happy, and there's no TV, there's no DVD, there's no Wii, there's no Xbox. I mean, you know, I'm not knocking those things. Y'all know my opinion on that stuff, but I love looking at those old pictures like that. The old car, you know, thinking about making a trip. You know, my dad. He grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he would sometimes have to go over to Nashville or to see other family in other parts of Tennessee. And when he was a young boy, so he was born, I think, in around 31. So let's say probably around the 40s, they would travel. And of course, the big cut through, you know, you had to go over the mountain. There was, you know, nowadays they kind of go around and cut through the mountain and things like that. But he can remember vividly. We talk about it that whenever they make the trip to go see his aunt, that they would get in the old car, the old sedan, whatever it was, Plymouth, Dodge, Ford, and when they got to the top of the mountain, they'd have to stop, cut the car off to let it cool,
yeah.
you know, and then when they got down to the bottom, they would have to stop and let the brakes cool off, because, you know, just the technology at that point. And they'd get to the top of the hill and they'd have to stop, maybe have a snack or something, and pull out a little thing of sandwiches that they're eating along, because there wasn't a McDonald's every 15 feet when you went on those road trips. You know, you packed your lunch with you, and you just gotta love it, man. Respect your mom, because, you know, in her 90s and the things that she's seen over the years and come and go, and absolutely, please wish her an absolutely happy birthday from everybody and all of our listeners.
Oh, we'll do. You know, and what our discussion actually is the perfect lead-in to a minimalist living.
Yes.
Because a lot of that is just sloughing off so much of what is distraction and really unnecessary expense, potentially, or just keeping stuff instead of having stuff keep us and serve us. So that's a good time to bring on Andrew. Unfortunately, I've got a really important meeting I need to get to. You know, Whisper, an interesting thing happened when I went on that book tour in California. I headed off kind of as an author / workshop presenter and facilitator, but I came back changed. I came back an activist, and I hadn't realized that until I find myself kind of giving my two cents and getting involved in all these different things, both locally as well as nationally. So this is one of those meetings I really feel I would like to go to from my activist point of view.
spread the chicken homestead sustainability love as much as you possibly can, because
local foods,
And we all know, Pat, that you were an activist long before you thought you were an activist.
Well, maybe so, but it was more just doing me and my thing and writing about what I'd learned and done and the dirt under the fingernails. So now it's more trying to enable others, if they choose to kind of reclaim their power. I mean, in a lot of sense, that's what this Occupy movement is about. It's coming back to growing our foods and having local economies and getting self-sufficient as a community as well as individuals. So it's all kind of coming together in ways I hadn't expected.
You're talking about the Occupy backyards.
Occupy the world. It's about unfairness in the corporate structure and how governments have been bought and laws are being bought and seeds and life is being patented and owned. And, you know, there are ways that we as individuals don't have to buy into that system. We can invest in credit unions that are local, and we can get debt free. We can support local growers, and we can even grow a lot of our own food. I mean, there's so much that we can do. Probably the most powerful thing we can do in this day and age is plant a garden. Get control of your food supply and grow your seeds with heirloom seeds that have more nutrition than the modern hybrids. I mean, it's all these small little things on the little micro personal level that are going to make a difference, I think. So,
very good.
Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox, and I got to get going to this meeting. So.
Go to the meeting and give them heck, Pat. We appreciate you stopping by, and we'll see you whenever you can stop in and join us. We'll love to have you on. So my co-host, Pat Forman, author of many great titles, including her hit right now, City Chicks, and she's got Chicken Tractor and Backyard Market Gardening, and just look her up on Amazon. You'll see all her titles. Pat, thanks for joining us today while you could, and have a great meeting.
Well, and forever and always, may the flock be with you.
Sounds good, Pat. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All righty, we're going to go to a short commercial break here, make sure we get those in, and then we're going to come back and bring on Andrew Odom, founder of tinyrevolution.us. Want to see what he's all about during the commercial break? Visit that website, tinyrevolution.us. Head on over there and see what they're all about, and then we come back, we'll see what's going on in the Tiny Revolution U.S. Life with Andrew and his family as soon as we return from this short break. You need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Frenzy, technology you can trust. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with a Chicken Whisperer. That was a great conversation we had with Pat. So glad she could stop by on her way to her meeting. Again, still fighting for backyard gardens and backyard chickens and sustainability practices in towns and recycling. So good for her. And she goes out and spreads all the self-sustaining love that she does. We appreciate her coming on when she absolutely can. But now it is time to bring on our guest for today, the third Tuesday of every month. We welcome Andrew Odom, founder of TinyRevolution.us. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm just cobbling a pair of shoes so that I can go to Sunday church meeting.
There you
and,
go.
And preparing to darn a pair of socks.
Very nice, very nice, very nice. Gotta love it. So, to recap everything, you've moved back to Georgia, and you're in the process of trying to find the perfect property to start your minimalist lifestyle and the homestead that y'all want to start. You've been looking all over for that, and trying to go ahead and the move back to Georgia was so you can pay down some debt and become, of course, debt-free for mainly that incentive you have to do that is that that young daughter of yours. So I completely understand that on that end. Many times during the day when I think about my to-do list and when I'm paying bills or I'm trying to figure out what I need to do next around here is many times not about me. It's about when I'm dead and gone, what do I need to do to make sure if it's tomorrow or a year from now or 10 years from now, If I leave this place, do I have everything that I need to do for the wife and the kids? And so I think about that quite often when I'm going down to my what's the next project I need to do? What should happen? So I know it's been about a month since you were back on last, and you said you had lots of interesting things to share with us. So we are all ears.
Fantastic. Well, I have to say I'm not in front of the computer today, so if something interesting is said, I know that our friend Grover always has some interesting comments, and we've got a few others that's always throwing some good comments, so if they put them up there on the board, just let me know, and I'll be sure to get to those. But
Super Grover just put in there, she said, CW, have Andrew move on down to Ideal.
I don't know if one little town could handle two people like us.
You got that right. Boy, I'm telling you what. Oh, man. Yep,
so
you moved down
just,
here. And, go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to respond. You were saying that, a lot of times on your to-do list, you think about, making sure things are as good as they can be for your wife and your son. after you may leave this place. Let me just tell you, I think that probably the best investment you can make, and please, I'm just going to give some unsolicited investment information and some tips. So, you know, some folks may want to grab a pen and pencil and write this down, but I really feel like getting a frother would be a good investment for all families. I think that having a good froth on your coffee in the morning would really just set the tone for a strong family structure.
Gotta love it.
So you heard that first here, folks. Forget what Warren Buffett says. Forget what Bill Gates says. Get a frother.
I never forget that time you said, "Oh my gosh, guess what I got? Was it your birthday or Christmas?"
It was Christmas.
Okay. And I was like, you know, minimalist lifestyle doesn't necessarily mean you have to do without. And in fact, I remember posting about the show. I'm like, tune in to find out where what is it? Flopper? I can't even
Flopper.
Say it.
Frother. Where I'm gonna put the frother? If we're gonna build a little build out for the frother.
Yeah. A slide out, like a
gotta love it.
You gotta
That's
love it.
It. That's it. An appliance garage, if you will.
Got it. Yep. Yep. I got the idea. My house is 8x30. And that's my house. So I'm living the tiny revolution lifestyle, but I have an outbuilding that's 40x60. And so.
Well, you know, we sometimes get chastised for that because, you know, part of our whole plan is what we initially started out with, and that's more of a pod lifestyle than it is just having a tiny house trailer. But the tiny house trailer being the epicenter of our pod, so to speak. And a lot of people, you know, purists, if you will, the people that sit on the back pew on Sunday mornings, they like to tell us that, well, you can't do that. That means you're not a tiny houser. Well, let me tell you something. There's no rules about lifestyles, living, minimalism, tiny house living, micro home, neo homesteading, whatever little media darling name you want to call it. There's no right or wrong. There's no black or white. The tip here, and you'll hear me say this in an upcoming film and then on a couple of interviews that are forthcoming. The trick really is, in essence, and I'm trying to say this without going into a long discussion on it, but it's all about the family growing into the – I mean, the home growing for the family, not the family growing into the home. And it's about building what you need, not what you think you may need one day. And so that's kind of the basis of our idea of tiny house living and of a further pod lifestyle, because you never know what the future is going to hold. Even if you built a 4,000-square-foot home, you don't know what the future is going to hold. You may, you know, all of a sudden have a whole branch of your family who's lost everything and needs to come live with you, and doggone if you're not limited then to 80 square feet a person. So you never know what's going to happen. And so I think that's really the beauty of everything that's being explored with Tiny Revolution. Go ahead.
There's been plenty of families, too. Think about this, being tax day. There's been plenty of families that maybe inherited a farm that had been in the family for 200-300 years, and it's a lot of acreage, and they just absolutely cannot afford the freaking taxes, and they lose the family farm. The farm's been in their family for long before taxes were even thought about.
That's right.
And then they the death tax, the inheritance tax, and then just the regular old taxes on 800 acres, and they're like, how am I supposed to pay this? You know, here I'm going to lose my family's farm because I can't even pay the taxes on something like that. And I can't really do much with it because I can't afford to buy the seed to grow a crop to actually, you know, pay the taxes. And I mean, there's, you know, I guess that comes to that old that saying, what do you say, land rich and cash poor. But that doesn't even really make sense anymore with the taxes that are on the land that people lose their gardens. So even if you have this huge monstrous house and lots of property, something happens, you get disabled, you lose the job, and then, you know, even just paying upkeep on things like that, it's just absolutely amazing.
Well, and too, we're at least two generations outside of an agrarian culture. So even if you have the family farm, we're two generations from knowing what the heck to do with it in the first place, from knowing what seed to get, how to grow the seed, how to market it, how to harvest it. We don't, you know, we're removed from that lifestyle. So there's a huge learning curve, which is why we see so many people kind of plotting up their land or partitioning their land and selling it to developers as land plots. They don't know what to do. They don't know what else to do. And you're exactly right. You know, taxes get the best of us. It's like folks that win the lottery, you know, they win whatever, $100 million, and then they don't understand why when the payout comes it's only $50 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's the way of the world, unfortunately. Taxes, which is why I respond to people this way. You don't want to pay that much tax, don't make that much money. Find a lifestyle that doesn't require you to make $200,000 a year, and you'll find that you don't have to pay $80,000 a year in taxes. It's all relative to what your lifestyle dictates. If you minimalize your lifestyle, if you downsize your lifestyle, you don't have to work as much. Of course, you don't make as much, but then you don't pay out as much. Everything is relative, and it will all change exponentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, having said all that, how is life in the? I know that you commented on a picture I put on Facebook yesterday. Of course, I would love for all of you to join us on Facebook, facebook.com/tinyrev. And you, Andy, commented on that picture I put up yesterday. We like to call that redneck carpooling. You know, I was taking the daughter somewhere she had to be, so why not strap her on and ride the four-wheeler? I felt like that was perfectly acceptable.
I saw that. Yeah, absolutely. That was great. And, you know, my comment, like I said, was like, wait, you mean she's not running that thing by herself yet? How old is Tilly now?
She is just over 6 months. Her birthday's on the 22nd of the month, so
gotcha.
She's closing in on seven months now.
Caleb's closing in on 11 months, and I had posted, well, she's not driving her. Yeah, I said, Caleb's out on the old Ford Jubilee actually, you know, running the bottom plow and getting ready to plant on the old Jubilee.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a daughter that if you give her point A and point B and tell her to roll, she can roll with the best of them now. We have gotten to that place where we have to put up boundaries because otherwise she will roll clear from one side of the house to the other. And before you know it, she has disappeared underneath of a piece of furniture. She will roll right under a couch if you let her. So it's an interesting time. You know, she's in
between. Rolling, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, what's interesting is she doesn't seem to care a lick about crawling, has no use for crawling. She is rolling around and working on pulling herself up on things as if she's, you know, preparing those early foundational times for walking. She just doesn't seem to be interested in the whole crawling thing. So, you know, and we've read that there are lots of children that skip over crawling altogether, so maybe she'll do that. Maybe she'll be a late crawler, who knows. But right now it's all about rolling. She can roll faster than most people can walk. So, and it's fun to watch. I mean, it is fun to watch her roll from one place to another because she just laughs and laughs and laughs and, you know, just has a grand time going around the place rolling. So, you know, every kid has their quirks. Everybody gets a kid with quirks, and that's ours. That's Tilly's little quirk is she is a roller. So,
yeah.
But, you know, the good thing about building tiny house and then moving into tiny house is there won't be that far to roll. So, unless we park on a cliff and she rolls downhill, she shouldn't have too far to go. Which leads me into talking about tiny house. So much has happened since last month. We had, you know, last month I think I left y'all off on saying we were anticipating starting the build on May 7th. We actually started the build on April 7th, so we went a clear month ahead of schedule. And I just want to take a chance. I want to talk about two things today, Andy. Actually, the first is.
Go ahead.
I know that that you've read and some others have read because they've commented on it. We have been extremely blessed to pull on some sponsors on the Tiny Revolution. And I want to address that for just a couple of minutes about why we would even do something like that. You know, does it seem like selling out, or are we trying to get a freebie, or what exactly are we doing? Well, first of all, I want to just say, you know, I want to take the time, if I could, just to say thank you to the companies that have joined us, which is LP Building Materials, Ecofoil, Mechanics Wear, Ethel Glove, we've got two others, but I can't announce them quite yet, but they're real exciting. But those folks have really just hopped on board with us. They've helped out. We've had some other help from some regional companies, which I'm real proud of. You might have read about Jordan Lumber, which joined us with 1.6 tons of lumber. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we brought on Balamo Building Supply, which has just been tremendous. They are our local hardware store, and they have gone out of their way to see to it that we can get building materials that otherwise we would have to go to a corporate box store. And for us, you know, that's so important. And I don't know if you remember, Andy, but that's one of the original things we talked about, how we were going to keep money in our community, how we were going to get our projects supported with the help of local businesses. Because, you know, if we don't support our local businesses, they're going to dry up and disappear, and then we're going to have no options left. And so it's just been real great bringing those sponsors on. And so I want to talk for just a second what we're doing with these sponsors, because a lot of people don't get it. They don't understand. Why would you want sponsors? Well, the tiny house community is growing quickly. It's strong. It's probably one of the only two or three arenas in the construction world, or in the residential construction world, that are still going strong, hard, heavy, and fast. You know, home builders, general contractors, they're kind of at a standstill. No one's building subdivisions right now. Very few people have the money to build their dream home or what have you. We're not even really building apartment complexes and condos. So there's kind of a stay on that sort of construction. We've noticed commercial construction has also grinded to a halt. In fact, I was reading something in the New York Times the other day. This is the first time in 150 years where there has been less than 100 commercial building product building campaigns at one time in New York City. Less than 100. So if you can imagine that, and of course the largest right now being the World Trade Center, One World Trade Center, which they're rebuilding. But other than that, there's less than 100 commercial projects going on, which is just tremendous, because that includes renovations, Andy. That's not just new construction.
Right.
So what we wanted to do was we wanted to show the tiny house community. Well, we wanted to introduce. Let's imagine we threw a little party, a little dinner party, and on one end of the table we invited all of our tiny house friends, and on the other end of the table we invited all of these people who sell building products, sustainable, eco-friendly, lightweight, tried and true, tested building materials, but that may not have the marketing budget, may not know how to reach the audience, et cetera. They're on the other end of the table. We're sitting in the middle, and so what we wanted to do was introduce those two parties to each other. And we knew that just buying materials wouldn't do it, because anyone can go out and buy materials and say, oh, yeah, we, you know, we use this insulation or we use this paint or something like that, and people go, oh, okay, great, well, we use this. It doesn't have the same impact. You know, in the tiny house community, when tiny house first came about as a term, as a lexicon in the building world, there kind of became this idea of what a tiny house looks like. It has, you know, it has corrugated metal roof. It has cedar lap siding on the outside. It's on a black 16-foot trailer, and the inside is pine, tongue, and groove. That's what the tiny house was. They kind of all look the same.
A lot of the ones that I see out there when I visit the websites and the Facebook pages, and just so people, if they haven't seen or they haven't visited the pages, to me, anyway, when I look at them, it reminds me of, you know, the and I've got one out here, the nice wooden Amish-built outbuildings
exactly.
that you can get that are 10 by 20, 10 by 30, yep. 12 by 20, 12 by 30. And then, you know, some of them, you know, they put the windows in them. They may have they may actually stop and then have a little patio or like a little, what do you call it, a front porch on them with a door and then a couple of windows down
right.
the side. And some of them actually, like you said, the tiny houses are built now on like a trailer frame. They have a couple of wheels on them so they can move them.
Mm-hmm.
They can go from place to
mm-hmm.
place and things like that. So, but that just so people can envision what exactly we're talking about. If they haven't seen the websites, the 10 by 20,
absolutely.
12 by 30, Amish-built, quality-made wood kind of outbuildings that we see. And then they're just
yep.
– but some of them now – let me paint this picture. You walk in, and some of them – and let's be honest, Andrew, some of them look like – even though a lot of them may be donated materials, they may be materials they got from garage sales or what have you. Some of them really look like maybe a five-star, really nice – hotel room. I mean, some of them, you know, they look nice, some of them inside
yeah.
there.
Well, and let's talk about that for a second, because what's interesting is what we're talking about is kind of a community where anything goes. It's very laissez-faire. You know, you may have some people that say, okay, I can build, I have $5,000 that I can spend. What can I build? And then you've got others who say, you know, I've got $45,000, $50,000. This is more of a novelty. It's going to be my cabin on my land out in, you know, Montana. So I want it to look real nice and have a nice vacation area, that sort of thing. So you've got, you know, you're running the gamut financially of what people can spend. Now, the homes that you were first talking about, many of those can be purchased, already built, you know, delivered to you. There are some customization features. And we're talking upwards of $30,000, $35,000, sometimes $40,000 for 167 square feet. Now, I'll let you do the math.
That's just my opinion. I'm like, are you kidding me? Because see, I look at some of these right down the road here, Andrew, and they're, let's say, a 12 by 30, which is, I think, the biggest one that they'll actually deliver out to you and if they don't build it on site. 12 by 30, and, you know, I mean, I've got a 10 by 20 that we purchased about 2 years ago out here, and you know which ones I'm talking about. And they'll put a I can see that the unit itself, let's say that's going to be $3,500, maybe $4,000. But I understand now that's just the shell. You've got your insulation put in between that, and you've got some type of maybe drywall or insides. You've got your plumbing. You're going to have to use, you know, the wall partitions inside and things like that. But I still look at that, and I'm thinking, $30,000? Are you serious? And so
well,
I'm still
– here's the breakdown, Andy. When you buy – let's say you go to, you know, one of the box stores, and you purchase the – you know, we'll say you purchase the 10 by 12 unit, and it's we'll say it's $2,700, okay?
Sure.
What you're purchasing is that unit that you see as is. So you're getting, you know, you're getting the OSB, you're getting the hardware, you're getting the shingles, and you're getting like one window. Now, what you've got to consider is everything else has to be paid for. So you've got to have, because of that size, because it exceeds a certain square footage, in most municipalities, you have to have a building permit. From a building permit, you then have to have a foundation, something for it to sit on. Once you put it on a foundation, if you intend on living in it, then you've got to factor in plumbing, electricity, insulation, interior. You've got to factor in all of the appliances and all of the furniture that would go in it. You have to factor in other windows should you choose to do other windows. You have to factor in heating and cooling. On your foundation, you have to factor in moisture barrier, vapor barrier, that sort of thing. You have to, you know, there's a number of factors. So before you know it, you have jacked the price up, you know, five times what you thought it was going to cost you.
I guess since I've never, it's like anything else, you know, I'm ignorant to how to rebuild a car motor. It's not a bad thing that I'm ignorant about that, but that's not my expertise. Just like, you know, I'll be going down I-75, I'll be coming down south of Macon, and I'll start to see these mobile home dealers on either side of the highway as you're riding down there, and they'll have this mobile home, maybe it's a double wide with some extra features, maybe a bay window or something, and they'll have this big banner on the front that says $108,000, and I'll just look at Jen and I said, "Did I see that right? That's a double wide, and for $108,000, just this coming back from our event in Alabama, we passed several, and they would have a double wide again, looking really nice. You know, maybe have like a little A-frame kind of entrance thing, maybe bay one, and they had someone there, $68,000 for what, you know, I live in the South, for a trailer. I mean, it's a double wide. You go in this thing, but I'm still like, when in the world did a trailer / double wide become $100,000? Where have I been all my life?
I'll tell you when that happened. It happened in the late 90s when they got rid of the term mobile home, and they came up with modular home. When a mobile home became a modular home, meaning it comes in multiple pieces and is fastened together on site, that's when the price increased, because we took away the stigma of living in a trailer, and we added the status of living in a modular home. So there's a definite time when that took place, and of course it came with a price implication. So what I was talking about a little earlier is when we decided to bring on sponsors, we did so for two reasons. One, we've just talked about what the tiny house kind of, what it had become to look like, what people decided, if I build a tiny house, this is what it's going to look like. I'm going to have X amount of dollars invested in the trailer, X amount invested in the pine tongue and groove interior work. I'm going to have X amount in the metal roof. And X. So we had gotten to this point where it was like, okay, this is the price of a tiny house. But, like I said earlier, there is no black and white. There is no right or wrong. So what we sought to do was, and here's the second thing, if it's built on a trailer, Andy, you have to be concerned with weight all the time.
Uh-huh.
Weight
uh-huh.
has to be on your mind. So
sure.
what we thought was, let us find companies that we would build our own home with, the home that we're going to live in. Let's approach them. Let's talk to them about what we're doing, and let's see if there's some way they want to be part of what we're doing. And what we found was there are companies who have these products already made, but they don't know how to manufacture them because normal contractors aren't interested. So we said, look, let us try it out. Let us use it on our home, the home we're going to live in. It's not going to sit out in Montana and we're going to go to it 2 weeks out of the year. We will let you know in 12 months whether this product is crap or whether it is held up for us. And then we'll report back to you in 3 years if you want and let you know how it's doing. But we want to show the tiny house community that if you only have $10,000 but you are a do-it-yourselfer, you can build, you can put two pieces of wood together and are confident in doing that, then you too can have a small home, a tiny house, if you will, a house that you don't have a mortgage for. You own it. No one can take it away from you. So that's why we decided to bring on these corporate sponsors. And I know there's a stigma by saying corporate sponsors. But look, Andy, these are people who I have talked with on the phone, who I've introduced to the tiny house community. I have been in intimate contact with them. They've sent us samples. They've talked about how excited they are. They've wanted to know more about it. It's just been a really fantastic partnership in the sense of, we're showing this community that, hey, you don't have to build a $40,000 tiny house. We're not doing it, so why should you? Here's some lightweight, quality product that you can use, and we put our personal stamp on it. My family's living in it. I say it works. So we've been really, really fortunate to have those companies, you know, walk hand-in-hand with us. And in return, we have gotten some building materials and we're able to access some building materials which are really exceptional and I think stand the chance at kind of redefining what people look at as tiny houses or small homes or micro homesteads or whatever you want to call it. You know, less than, we'll say less than 800 square feet, which, mind you, you know, y'all have an old farmhouse, which I would love to have an old farmhouse one day, but if you think about it, Andy, for a family of three, 800 square feet is plenty. It's plenty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we have been very fortunate with that. And that's just been, for me, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun to work with them and talk about different things. And, you know, to me, even though some of those companies aren't regional, it's a great opportunity to find out, why did you even come up with this product if you didn't know who you were going to try and market it to?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not marketing it to the general public, why not? What can I do to show my buddy who wants to build a hunting cabin but doesn't have $50,000 to do it? What can I say, hey, man, check this out. I guarantee it's going to work. What can we do about that? So we've spent a lot of time the last month doing that. But that's not the most exciting part. The most exciting part is we have started to build our tiny house. We have begun turning a house plan into a home, which is every definition of the word magical that you can imagine. I mean, seeing what you've been dreaming for. And we've been on this now, Andy, for almost 2.5 years that we've been cultivating this dream and sketching plans, drawing plans, pulling together material ideas, budgeting, talking to people, the whole gamut. So to finally be at this place where we are assembling is such an amazing, amazing feeling. And so what have we done so far? Well, we've enhanced the website, as some people may have seen. We've added a video page, which means all the videos we do, which is every step of building this house, we've done a video for so far. We're adding those videos so that you can see how exactly we're doing it. We have, of course, the trailer was finished when we got back to Georgia. Since then, we've put down the EcoFoil, which is our radiant barrier. We've put down the floor foundation. Which brings us to today, and actually the reason I, when I joined the call, I was in the middle of starting to unpack our subfloor and some of our insulation, because next is putting the insulation into floor cavities and then putting the subfloor on. We're expecting some rain for the next few days here, and so we're trying to kind of beat that rain and get our tarps back on and that sort of stuff. But that's where we are now. So we are at floor foundation. We're at subfloor. But, you know, the next step to that is putting the walls up. So we are moving along quickly. And, of course, we have all of that stuff. We've ordered our studs. We've ordered our Tyvek. We already have our windows and doors. The metal siding is on its way. It's in transit. So, I mean, not metal siding. The metal roof is on its way, which we are using a very traditional look. The metal roof that we're using is going to look a lot like a 100-year-old farmhouse. It's got that silver tint to it with 16-inch standing seam ridges. So it's going to be a really pretty look. Really excited about that. So that is what's been happening over the course of the past month. And for anyone that's built anything on their own, you know, you can never just say, okay, today I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and expect it to run like that. You're going to have X, X1, X2, X3 and a half, and then you're going to have Y, Y.1, Y.2, Y.1A. You know, what you think is going to be a 3-4 hour project turns out to take most of your day. And because I have a day job, you know, we really only work on the weekends, and we don't work on Sundays. So we basically have a couple of evenings for an hour or two, and then we have all day Saturday. So it's coming along very nicely. I would encourage everyone to check out our website, www.tinyrevolution.us. You can see lots of pictures. You can see the videos. You can see our verbal updates. You can always check out our Flickr page. And we stay pretty updated on the Facebook page as well. But now is really where it gets exciting, Andy, because this is where we start really, you know, putting the meat back on the bone, so to speak.
Yeah, it's one of those. This is things that people don't necessarily think about. So I remember when you first got started, you know, getting the trailer made, things like that. How's the talking about all kinds of things in the chat room about land? I was sharing my story for the very first time that I hadn't gone public with, about where we were living and we moved here, and cost involved and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And whatnot. So sharing that in the chat room. Talk about, like I said, the land. Why are they on wheels? Just so you can have that freedom to go anywhere you wanted to. Okay, this is nice. And
absolutely.
Okay.
Imagine if you will, Andy. You have worked hard at building your own home. You are mortgage free.
Yeah.
And for one reason or another, maybe your job transfers you, or a family member gets sick and you have to move closer to them, or something like that. Imagine the heartache involved if your home has to sit on the foundation where you built it while you move on to another place. It means you have to start all over again. And that ties into, you know, this great little catch-all term we've started to use, this carbon footprint. You know, you've built this home, you've built it on a foundation on land, and it's going to sit there. Whether you sell it or not, it sits there. It's still taking up that land. By us building on a trailer, if something like that should happen, we just hitch it up and take it to the next piece of land. That piece of land we were on goes right back to being what it was, whether it was pasture or whether it was a yard or whether it was out in the middle of, you know, Nebraska, like I said. Great. It goes right back to serving that purpose. It the earth absorbs it again, and we move on to the next spot. Now, there are other expenses. If the more grounded you become, the more embedded into the land you become, then you start picking up things like, okay, I'm going to put in a well and I'm going to put in a septic tank, and you start switching over to some of those more traditional concepts, as opposed to, say, maybe a composting toilet or an incinerator toilet and water tanks, you know, a gray water system. So that is the whole purpose of putting it on a trailer, so you can tote it with you. Mm-hmm. So you can, your home that you have dreamt about and built with your blood, sweat, and tears can go with you.
Perfect. How about the land? Tell us about kind of what when you're looking at land, and you're going through this right now, you know, on the weekends, maybe checking this out, checking
mm-hmm,
that out,
mm-hmm.
looking at land online. What I know, you want to be close. I'm guessing, you know, a lot of people, the factor is being close to family, what they can afford, how much land do they want. We talked about here, you know, I've probably got about – maybe 2 acres, and I'm telling you, it's all I can handle with my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
It's all I want to handle with my schedule. Yeah, it's nice to go down and see, you know, 50 acres of beautiful cotton and think, boy, it'd be nice to have that, but I'm not having to work it.
So
it's easy to sit in your air-conditioned car driving by. But so what when you're looking at land, Andrew, what are y'all looking at, near family, not near family? What part of the region and why that part of the region? For example, and I don't know if I've shared this with folks before, when me and Jen, right before we got married, we bought 2.5 acres, and I guess it's just your priority, about a mile from Unicoi State Park up in the northeast Georgia mountains, and 2.57 acres in a nice little kind of, I guess you'd call it a community, but it was still, you know, not like a subdivision, and beautiful, beautiful, absolute awesome views. And then we started, you know, this self-sustaining, you know, that type of, and we started thinking, beautiful lot, beautiful place for a nice house overlooking the mountains, but where's my garden going to be? Where am I going to grow corn? Where am I going to grow cantaloupes and watermelon? This beautiful, you know, have the friends come over and sit out in the hot tub and look at the beautiful mountains, but where's my corn patch? That's what's important to
me.
So where's my that's why we said, you know, we sold it. We were so fortunate. I bought it during the before the boom, and then I sold it right before the collapse. So it was one of the better decisions I've made in my life, and it was just luck. I know nothing about real estate, but we found this place down here. So what are y'all exactly looking at? What are your priorities with the land?
Well, we actually have a couple of things, and I think it's very, everybody has a different reason for settling where they do. You know, I think I have mentioned before, if not on the radio show, definitely on the website. Collectively, Crystal and I have lived in about 11 countries and about 19 different states. So we have just, you know, been around for sure. And we've seen lots of different living environments, everything from thatch huts to, you know, high-rise apartments to, you know, to beach condos. We've seen everything. So, you know, we have a great deal of experience to pull from. So it really breaks down to a couple of things for us. And, you know, Crystal and I are both very spiritual people, both Christian, that sort of thing. And so our number one priority is, we really feel like God has kind of stamped a piece of land for us. And it's just a matter of timing and knowing the season in our life. When we get there, we'll know it. We'll kind of have this intuition about it. Same way you feel like you feel a gut feeling like, this just didn't right. You know, it works opposite. You just get this gut feeling like, man, this is it. This is what was planned out for us. So that's kind of our number one priority. And, you know, if that's it for us, if that's in line, then everything else is going to happen the way it's supposed to. It's going to all fall into place.
Yep.
Number two really is, we're Southern born and bred. We can't imagine being anywhere other than the Southeast region. We had talked, you know, about a couple of different places. We had talked about maybe Northeast. We have a lot of friends in Maine, and Maine is an amazing state for people who want to be self-sufficient. They don't have a lot of the red tape and stuff that other places do. So we talked a little about that, and we've even talked about some places out west that we like to look at pretty pictures of, but we're not, you know, not real sure that would fit us. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we really want to stay in the South. The weather suits us well. We like being close to the ocean if possible. Crystal loves the beach, and she wants to raise Tilly having access to the beach. So there's another priority. And then the third priority is, you know, we have every intention to continue our homesteading lifestyle. And so what we have to do is, we have to really weigh out our enterprises. No, I don't think in today's world one family without having 10 children can possibly juggle all the enterprises that are available. So when I say that, I mean, we're going to grow corn, and we're going to grow cotton, and we're going to raise hogs, and we're going to have a dairy, you know, we're going to have dairy cows, and we're also going to have some goats, and then we're going to have chickens, and we're going to have our own garden, and we're going to have a smokehouse, and then if we have some time left, we're going to grow tobacco and sell it to, like, Turkish farms and stuff like that, you know. Without having just a hoard of family, or, you know, the money to pay for workers, you have to really think about what your enterprise opportunities are. So for us, you know, the ability to have enough land to raise a couple of hogs every year, to have a decent sized garden. And, you know, the past 3 years we've fluctuated between two locations. So every year we've kind of had to restart our garden and recultivate the land. And so we really do dream of our gardens being able to be replanted year after year and cultivated year after year. So, of course, a large garden and for our chickens. And we'd like to either co-op a dairy cow or support a dairy farmer or something like that. So we want to be close to that sort of enterprise. So that's kind of our third priority, is just being able to continue our homesteading lifestyle and be able to give an environment where we feel space and where Tilly can grow up the way that we grew up, you know, being able to run around and be free and have land. And, you know, if she wants to ride her four-wheeler or whatever, or the four-wheeler, then she can't, you know, without fear of somebody hitting her on the highway or something like that. So that's really where we are. Those three principles are really our guiding principles. And we're not dead set against anything. You know, of course, anything can happen. We can be sent anywhere. But those really are the things that we're looking at. And, you know, the good thing about the tiny house lifestyle is living in the South, because we are kind of a quote-unquote trailer community, if you will, the municipalities and the zoning ordinances and such really lean our way, in our favor, you know, building on a trailer. It's not like it's that odd of a concept in the South, folks, to live in a house that's got wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are kind of the three things.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Awesome. We're going to take a commercial break, folks. We're talking with Andrew Odom, founder of tinyrevolution.us. He's all kinds of great information today about living that minimalist lifestyle. And we'll continue when we come back right after this short break. Stay with us, folks. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chick. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
1901, Stromberg's has been a family-owned and operated business, providing quality poultry and poultry supplies to their customers. Today, the Stromberg family offers over 200 different breeds of poultry, including chickens, waterfowl, and game birds. They also offer poultry supplies for the beginner or advanced poultry keeper. Stromberg should be on the top of your list when it comes time to order. Shop online at www.strombergschickens.com or call today at 1-800-720-1134. Remember, that's strombergschickens.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All right, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisper. Today's guest, of course, the third Tuesday of every month, Andrew Odom, founder of TinyRevolution.us. I encourage you to head over there and see what they're all about, and very, very interesting site, and you can really learn a lot, I'm telling you. And he joins us the third Tuesday of every month as today. So, Andrew, welcome back.
Thanks, sir. Thanks, sir.
Very good. Anything else to kind of wrap it up that you were, you know, you had kind of a list of what you were going to talk about? Did anything else we need to cover?
That was all I wanted to cover. Were there any quick questions that showed up in the board or?
Didn't see any in the chat room as of yet. It's kind of conversation's been kind of all over the place as it always is. But
it always is.
But
I wasn't expecting you left.
One thing will spur into another. So, yep, no problem whatsoever. And let's see what we've got here. Okay, perfect. Well, I appreciate you joining us. We're going to do a chicken trivia here and give away a prize from our sponsor today, eggcartons.com. And we'll look forward to seeing you next month, third Tuesday of May, right
here.
Absolutely.
And I want everyone to definitely stop by the website or the Facebook page.
Yes.
If you are not a fan of the Facebook page, please do so and subscribe to our site or add it to your RSS feed because it's getting hot and heavy now, Andy. Hot and heavy. We're posting at least 3 times a week now, which is exciting, and lots of pictures and just tracking our progress pretty closely. So I'd encourage everyone to show up. And as always, man, I thank you all for having me. I always love to come and talk about my frothing machine.
Absolutely. We love to hear about it as well. Got to love it. All righty, my friend. Thank you so much. And
yes, sir.
We'll be thinking about you over the next month. And I'm looking all forward
right.
to hearing the next progress. So we'll see you then.
All right, man. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All righty, we've got a great prize today from our Tuesday sponsor, which just happens to be EggCartons.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at EggCartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today. We've got 25 vintage style egg cartons. You know, the 3x4, not the 6x6. Everybody remembers those. Okay, I don't guess I'm that old because I don't remember them, but they are the 3x4. KK4 EFG, KK4 EFN, USMC Vets joined us in the chat room. How you doing, my friend? Thanks for joining us. And 25, not 5, not 10, not 15, not 20, 25 vintage style egg cartons. You love them. I do too. The 3x4 style, vintage style, very, very popular. They sell a boatload of them over there at eggcartons.com. And let's have a simple question. Let's have a little simple question here, and we'll take caller number 6. Caller number 6, if you know the answer to – Which end of the egg comes out first when laid, the big end or the small end? That's the question today. Caller number 6, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. Caller number 6, which end of the egg comes out first when laid, the big end or the small end? That's what we want to know. 347-637-3237. You could win 25 awesome vintage egg cartons from Egg Cartons Vintage Style. Somebody said, I don't know if I want some old egg cartons sent to me. Brand new egg cartons, vintage design, vintage style. 25 of them. It's a great deal. From eggcartons.com. All you got to do is be the right caller right now. 347-637-3237. All righty, 347-637. Sorry about that. I was checking out something that was going on outside that might have needed my assistance, but they got it going on. 347-637-3237. Which end of the egg comes out first when laid? The big end or the small end? For 25, caller number 6, 347-637-3237. Give us a call right now. You could win these awesome egg cartons from eggcartons.com. Remember, tune in tomorrow. Great gardening show here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Tomorrow, Garden Wise Living with Arlena. That'll be tomorrow, this coming Thursday. Poultry scientist Dr. McCray will be here this coming Thursday. And then remember, this Friday probably won't take place because I've got the big storm shelter coming. And the TV show Shipping Wars will be here with A&E. So if they get delayed and then I got time to get the show in, by golly, we're going to have a fun Friday show. If not, we'll see if I have time to do any kind of prizes on Facebook. So we'll see how that works. Let's get over here to the phone lines. Caller number 6 calling in from area code. Well, let me hit the right button. Hey, what's going on? Why isn't it working? Okay, whoa, okay, I see what happened here. Just a second. For some reason, my switchboard didn't update. It went from like 9 callers to 26. Okay, weird. Hang on a minute, guys. Let me refresh. So make sure we get that done correctly. There we go. Had to refresh the page. It went berserk on me there for a minute. Caller number 6, area code 941. 941, you're on the air with Andy, the Chicken Whisperer. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from, please.
This is Tracy from Florida.
Tracy from Florida. And tell us, which end of the egg comes out first, the big end or the small end?
Well, on my chickens, it's the large end.
Yep, that's exactly right. The big end comes out first.
Right.
Yep, absolutely. As that egg is pushed through, and it's pushed through, it kind of forms the shape of that eggshell, and it pushes it, that last little push pushes it right on out, and that's exactly the way that it rolls. So very good. Congratulations. You have won 25 vintage-style egg cartons from eggcartons.com. I think you know the drill. Just send me an email, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. If you'll put vintage egg cartons or eggcartons.com in the subject line, and then your name, shipping address, phone number, and email. One more time, name, shipping address, phone number, and email. I'll get that over to Wendy, our good friend, up at eggcartons.com, and they'll get those cartons out to you as soon as possible. So, folks, thank you very much for tuning in today. Another great show with Andrew Odom, founder of tinyrevolution.us. Head over to that website and do the RSS feed and find his Facebook page and become a fan on Facebook of tinyrevolution.us. I hope you have a wonderful, fabulous rest of your day. We thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you then, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh.